sharing with you. And finally, Bible teaching. We have been sharing in the Integrity series. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing on relationships. We started this series out by talking about how to achieve excellence and integrity in relationships, part one. And we talked about the four basic types of relationships, how you could achieve excellence and integrity with others. And then we came back and shared part two of that series, and we talked about the differences between a God-ordained and a God-approved marriage. And we talked about the four types of oneness. We talked about physical oneness, emotional oneness, financial and spiritual oneness. Am I right? And then we came back the week before last Wednesday, and we talked about how to identify the strong man. And we said that the strong man was the master issue that seeks to destroy your goods. And I shared with the body that if you can identify the strong man and you can overcome him, then the rest of the relationship can be good, because all of the other issues will work themselves out. And so tonight, we're going to continue in this series. We have three more teachings that I'm going to share with you. And tonight, I'm going to change the dynamics of it and talk about six signs of an unhealthy relationship. So I'm going to talk about six signs, S-I-X, not S-I-C-K, six signs. Six signs of an unhealthy relationship. Now, it wouldn't be fair to you as believers if I just shared six signs and didn't tell you how to improve, because I said effective ministry is when I can identify the problem and then give you tools on how to fix the problem. But I'm not going to give you those tools tonight. We'll give you those tools on Sunday morning. Tonight, we're just going to identify the problem. Amen? So if you go with me in your Bibles, we're going to be coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Verse number 10 through verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 10 through verse number 15. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait. All right. Now, I said the only time that you can cheat in church is if you don't know where the scripture is, you're authorized to use the index. That's what it's for. Everybody have it? Say amen. All right. And to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her next door neighbor. Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her boo. This is the Rick James version I'm reading out of tonight. Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her sugar daddy. Y'all want to have a little fun with this word tonight. That all right? He said, let her be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If a brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But and if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So we're going to deal with six signs of an unhealthy relationship. What is an unhealthy relationship? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. An unhealthy relationship is a relationship between two people. Remember, we're dealing with married or couples that are in courtship. That is not progressing. Slow your roll, Pastor. An unhealthy relationship is a relationship between two people, married or in courtship, that is not progressive. There are more negatives than positive. Oh, Lord. In other words, the bad often outweighs the good. In other words, the bad often outweighs the good. It is where one or more of these six signs that I will share tonight is in consistent operation within the relationship. So that's an unhealthy relationship. In other words, when the relationship is not progressing, or as my kids say, it's bootleg. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody ever been in a bootleg relationship? All right. Let me start this off talking to the singles tonight. When premarital relations are involved in the relationship, talking about premarital sex, most relationships start off good. Remember now, just because I made that statement, because y'all looking at me real strange. Ho, Pastor, you're doing real good last 6 weeks, then you made a statement like that. Remember, I don't advocate premarital sex in relationships. But listen to me closely. They start off good because there is a physical attraction sexually, but there is often no emotional connection. So in order to have a healthy relationship, there must be an emotional connection as well as a physical connection. Am I doing all right? Y'all gonna stay. But couples often find this out late in the relationship because they built the relationship on a physical attraction instead of an emotional attraction. I believe I shared with you in previous teachings that sex is only 10% of the relationship. It's not the whole relationship. And so the reason why when you start out good in a relationship where there's premarital sex, if you will, is because you're attracted that to that person physically, but not emotionally. And then as you progress in the relationship, whether you get married or whether you don't, you find out that there's more than just a physical attraction that makes a relationship work. And so I want you to understand that trouble in relationships, whether you're in courtship or marriage, is not uncommon. You do not have to feel isolated or alienated when you experience trouble in your marriage because you're not alone. There are people all around you experience the same thing because you are in relationships with people that are not perfect. And to err is human. And so if you're in a relationship at any level, there's going to be some sort of trouble. There's going to be some sort of conflict. So I don't want you to feel that because you're experiencing trouble, because there's tension in your relationship, that you're alone because you're not. Now I want to give you three characteristics of a healthy relationship. Number one is when the relationship is flourishing. In other words, it's progressive. Both persons love each other and are in love with one another. Because you can be in a relationship where you love someone, but you're not in love with that person. I didn't get a whole lot of amens. People are in relationships all day long till the sun go down that they love that person, but they're not in love with them no more. In other words, the thrill is gone. But they're still in the relationship. Number two is when you're able to handle conflict without allowing conflict to dominate the relationship. I said before, you will have conflicts, but you don't allow it to bog you down to where it eventually overtakes the relationship. There are couples all over the country, all in the church, that a conflict or an issue have overtaken the relationship. And they're not able to overcome it. So what happens is the relationship ends up not flourishing because they've got bogged down in something that they're not able to overcome. And that's not a characteristic of a healthy relationship. Similar to when your car hits a pothole. Bless you. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Six signs to an unhealthy relationship. Similar to when your car hits a pothole. How many of y'all have hit potholes? Probably hit some on the way here. But when you hit it, your car and the shock absorbers absorb the impact. There may have been some damage. It may have thrown off the alignment, but it didn't stop you to where you were going. Am I doing all right? And so that's the way conflict is in relationships. If you're consistently hitting potholes, but the potholes stop you from where you're trying to get to. You should be at a level to where you can hit a pothole in your relationship, but it don't stop the destination because you know how to handle and overcome conflict. Number three is when you are consistently exercising compromise. Say compromise. Oh, Lord. Pastor, what's compromise? It's give and take between both partners. One is not consistently dominating the other by using guilt, manipulation, or control. And am I doing all right? So those are three characteristics of a healthy relationship. Now I'm going to share with you six signs of an unhealthy relationship. Number one is when there are consistent thoughts of separation or divorce. If you are consistently thinking about separation from your spouse or destiny partner, it's one of the first signs that the relationship is unhealthy. You must stop and consider why you're spending your time focusing on separating and divorce instead of reconciliation. See, you're spending all your time on how to separate. You're putting all your energy into that versus how to make the relationship better. Unhealthy relationship, one of the common signs. Yes, there's something obviously wrong with that. Why would you want to separate from the person that you said? Tell your neighbor you said that. You want to spend the rest of your life with. Oh, pastor. Separation and divorce in the church is very real. That's why I try to make these messages relevant to what people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. I know y'all want to hear about faith. I know you want to hear about anointing. I know you want to hear about miracles. I know you want to hear about millionaires. But we can't have none of that stuff until we get our relationships right. We'll have plenty of time to talk about all of that and dance until the cows come home. You have to come to a place where you put the focus on you and what you can do to enhance the relationship instead of the other person. See, when you're in conflict, most of the time you focus on the other person. You don't focus on what it is you can do to make the relationship better. You spend your time and your energies focusing on the other person that needs, they need to do this, and they didn't wash the dishes, and they didn't vacuum the floor, and my food wasn't cooked. You focus on all that versus what you can focus on in your own self, what's in your own control to make the relationship better. Amen. Am I doing all right? You cannot control what they say or do, but you can control what you say and do. Number two, when there are consistent cycles of abuse. Oh, Pastor. There are two types of abuse. Listen to me closely. Physical abuse and emotional abuse. Both forms of abuse by a perpetrator are unacceptable. Any form of physical abuse at any sort is unacceptable. I'm going to deal with the men, but not only the men, because I've seen some women that abuse men. But it's more common for men to abuse women. But there are some sisters out there. They're not in here tonight, I don't think. If they are, they've hidden themselves very well. But listening to me, my radio, those that are listening to this audio cassette series, there's some women out there that physically abuse their husbands or their destiny partners. When a man puts his hands on a woman for any reason, it's proof that he's out of control. This cannot be tolerated because physical abuse cycles, not handled at the lowest stages, can eventually turn deadly. If the partner that is the recipient of the abuse does not let the perpetrator know that their behavior is unacceptable, then it's highly probable that abuse cycles will escalate. Before you know it, you're in the hospital. Next thing you know, you're in the funeral home, but you don't know that because you've gone on to be with the Lord or you've gone on to be with the devil, one of the two. Am I doing all right? I share all the time that if you're in a cycle of abuse that have become physical, if you do not let the perpetrator know that that's unacceptable, the first time, it's a choke. The second time, it's a punch in the lip. Y'all mighty quiet in here. The next time, it's a broken arm. The next time, you're out of work for 5 days because your face is black and blue. Am I doing all right? The next time, it's a trip to the hospital. The next time, it's a trip to the funeral home. You have to let the perpetrator know that physical abuse in this relationship will not be tolerated. Partners can become emotionally abusive by saying things that eventually damage a person's self-esteem. Talking about emotional abuse now. When your self-esteem is damaged and the other partner realizes it, then it becomes a means of control because the partner begins to accept the emotionally damaging things that the other partner is saying. You begin to feel like you can't survive with the other person and that no one will love you or put up with the things that you do like they do. But that's a lie from hell. The devil wants you to believe that because the reality is you can survive, someone will love you for you, and God will take care of you no matter what. Why, Pastor? Because I always say you can do bad what? All by yourself. Am I doing all right tonight? Y'all gonna buy the tape? All right, good, good, good. Praise the Lord. CFA likes that. Abuse cycles, listen to me closely, not only affect you, the victim, but they also affect the children. If the man is a physical abuser and you have a son, the son grows up thinking that this is the way that you treat women and will often treat women like his father did. Although this is not an excuse, it's a reality. Young women that see their mothers abused often grow up and find abusers themselves because that was modeled before them. And so your daughters that see you women physically abused by your husband or your significant other or your ex or your baby's mama or whatever the case might be, when they see that type of lifestyle, then it's highly probable that when they become of age, they'll go out and look for the same thing. And they'll tolerate the same junk you did. because it's equated to love. He wouldn't, you know, if he didn't love me, he wouldn't hit me and he wouldn't do all these things to me because he really loved me. No, if that joker did love you, he wouldn't put his hands on you. And he respects you for who you are. This is why it's so important when you are in an abuse cycle that you get the proper help that you need, because too much is at stake. Tell your neighbor, we got too much at stake in this thing here. Your life is too valuable for you to be putting up with nonsense that is unprofitable and unfruitful for your life. You have too much at stake to risk your destiny on foolishness. Number three is when one of the partners choose to continually separate. When one of the partners choose to continually separate, he or she sends a nonverbal message that they really don't know how to appropriately handle problems that arise in the relationship. I think I need to repeat that. If you have somebody that in your relationship that continually separates from you, they sending a nonverbal message that they really don't know how to appropriately handle problems that arise in the relationship. I'm not talking about when a person chooses to go for a drive or a walk or get some fresh air and then comes back. I'm referring to when a person relieves the relationship for a long period of time and this becomes a cycle. Now, some couples, some relationships have separated for a period of time and it's been once. I'm not really referring to that. But I'm referring to every time you and the missus have a spot, or an argument, a disagreement, or conflict arise in the relationship, he or she pack their bags and they go. They gone for 2 days, they gone for 3 weeks, they gone for 3 months. That's sending you a nonverbal message that they don't know how to handle problems in the relationship. Because a real man or a real woman would be mature enough to talk it out and work the problem out instead of acting like a little kid. That's what children do. Well, you don't like me, I'm going home. I'm picking up my toys and my Game Boy and I'm going home to my mama. Bye. One of the best things that happened to me and my wife when we got married, the Lord sent us 900 miles away from home. So when First Lady and I had a conflict, she couldn't pack up her bags and run to mama. I couldn't pack up my bags and run to daddy. We had to be upset with one another, handle the conflict, and learn how to work it out. One of the worst things that can happen in relationships is when you have one couple that's on the phone with mama every time y'all have it. Oh, God, I know I'm hitting a note. Every time you have a disagreement, seem like you married the mama and not her. Because what happened, the wife ends up picking up mama's spirit. And if mama don't have a model relationship, why in the world are you trying to talk to mama? Mama got separated 15 years ago. So your input in the relationship at this point is really not too valuable. Because if it was, you and daddy would be together and have some years under your belt. Oh, y'all don't want to mess with me tonight. Brothers are different. They go talk to their stick partners. Oh, man, she messing with me, man. I don't know what to do. You talking to a joker that ain't even married. Hang out in the club. Hang out with the fellas. Have no commitment. Have no relationship. How in the world is he going to give you relationship advice? That just as backwards as if I turned my shoes the other way and tried to walk. That's real backwards, ain't it, John P.? It ain't going to work. So you have to learn, beloved, how to work out issues and problems. This places a strain on the relationship because trust issues begin to arise. Things begin to run through your mind about your partner's whereabouts. Oh, Jesus. What they're doing, who they are with. Then if it's not dealt with appropriately, these issues remain in the back of a person's mind because you really struggle to trust them again when they come back. I think I'm doing all right tonight. I think I got the right message. Y'all think I got the right message? Six signs to an unhealthy relationship fit right in good with the integrity series. Number four, when there are continual acts of deception, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Deception at any stage in the relationship is extremely unhealthy. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Lies, stealing, unfaithfulness, betrayal, adultery. If you listen to me, singles, if you find deception in courtship, y'all trying to preach my stuff, see? It's a strong possibility that you'll find it in the marriage. Because if he or she is deceptive in courtship and is not handled or dealt with properly, how can the marriage be successful? So if you got a joker, and I use the word joker, that you calling your destiny partner, your boo, like First Lady said, oh, he my boo. But you can't trust your boo. Your boo go away. You don't know what your boo is doing. You don't hear from your boo for 2 hours. Then your boo had the audacity to tell you, you only need to know what I tell you. What kind of relationship is that? What kind of respect for you as a woman of God is that? I don't go nowhere. My wife don't know where I am. Whenever she calls, everybody here got caller ID on your cell phone, house phone, car phone, whatever you have. I always pick up the phone unless I'm in a meeting. Hello. First Lady, she has my voicemail, she got my email, she got my checking account, she got all of those different things because ain't no secrets. Ain't no deception. And Pastor don't have nothing to hide. First Lady don't have nothing to hide from Pastor. So if you're in a relationship where they struggling about you checking their cell phone, oh, this is for the radio audience. It's not for y'all, right? I'm just checking. That's for the radio audience. I didn't get no amens, but trying to reach for them. John, trying to reach for them amens. Can't get none of them. I got to buy some. But if you're in a relationship and there's a struggle about trust, then that's breeding deception at the early stages. Something's wrong with that picture. You and your spouse shouldn't have no secrets. Because it's not healthy. And it breeds to deception. This is my wife. I love her. She bore my 4 children. So why would I want to be deceptive with her at any stage? Hello. All right, let me go on. Maybe I'll get some more amens as we go down the road. Mm-hmm. Deception at any level is serious, and there must be true repentance and open confession if the relationship is ever going to achieve integrity again. Let me tell you what open confession is. It's not getting caught in the act. That's not open confession. You come home, you see, Lord help me tonight. You see your husband, you see your destiny partner in the bed with somebody else, and they say, I'm caught, I confess. That's not open confession. That's caught in the act. Open confession is where the confession is inhibited with repentance to a qualified church leader or to the spouse. Where the person said, baby, I know you love me, I love you, but I've done some things that I'm not proud of, and I need to come clean, and I need to tell you about them. Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. When deception is common or continual, trust is always violated. In other words, when you regain trust with that partner of yours and they continue to violate trust, they continue to be deceptive, it always breaks down what you're trying to build. And anytime, listen to me closely, there's been deception in the relationship at any stage, that person owes it to the other person to live an open life. You owe that to that person. A lot of people don't like preaching like this because they don't want to walk in open confession. But if you have openly confessed and you're moving towards repentance, you're moving towards getting your life cleaned up, you have no problem being accountable. If you find yourself in a relationship where you really cannot trust the other person because of continual acts of deception, you need to get out of it. If you're in courtship. If you're in marriage, you need to get some godly counsel to learn how you need to proceed. Because if you stay in the relationship and never appropriately deal with the deception, then you will eventually become a victim of your own circumstances. In other words, that person will overpower you, and that deception is bigger than you because it's a demonic spirit. And then you do get what's called the just turning your head syndrome. Well, you know, that's Billy. You know, he go do his thing, you know, as long as he's here. That means you become a victim of circumstance, because that should never be tolerated in a relationship at any level. Am I doing all right? Number five, when there is a continual lack of cooperation in one of the partners. In order for the relationship to regain healthiness, both partners must be willing to work together and cooperate with one another. If you are in counseling and only one of the partners is committed to making the relationship work, it'll be a struggle. Let me give you five examples of a continual lack of cooperation so you can identify them if they're in your house. Tell your neighbor, I hope this isn't for you. I'm just kidding. Refuses to make any type of changes. Changes that he or she knows about that will improve the relationship. So in other words, you have been talked to, you've been counseled, you've said you have both agreed that these are changes that you need to make, but he or she refuses to make them. Continues to do things that hinder the relationship instead of enhancing the relationship. Especially when they know the relationship is in jeopardy. What are you saying, Pastor? The relationship is already rocky. Hello. It's already, teetering. You know, you really got one more time to rub me the wrong way. Hello. And I'm going to push you off the edge. And so the relationship is already in jeopardy. But you continue to do more to hinder the progress than improve it. Number three, continues to disregard or disrespect your feelings. Again, these are things that are known to the other partner, but they continue to hurt, degrade, or discourage you knowingly. Number four, continues to violate trust. After confessing or being caught in the act, because it worked both ways, some spouses have caught their husband in the act, caught their destiny partners in the act. They've been forgiven. Hello. They want to work the marriage out, but, you know, for some reason, they continue to violate that trust. And then number five, prefers or considers the respect of others above the partners. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Considers the feelings of parents, relatives, friends, or associates over yours. In other words, what the parents have to say, what relatives have to say, mean more to them than what your feelings are. First Lady and I tell you all the time, you don't go home with your partner. Oh, got one, that's right. The rest of y'all was real quiet. You don't go home with your girlfriend. You don't go home with your mama. Some folks do. They stay with mama. But mama ain't the one, hopefully, to get into bed with you with nice soft skin. Hello. So why in the world would you prefer the feelings over your mama over your spouse? But it's happening every day. There's relationships where people will prefer what their family members have to say. Their input is more valuable to them than the input of the person that they're spending the rest of their life with. And that's not right, because you don't go home with them. You don't live with them. You didn't say I do to them. You said I do to the person sitting next to you or the person that you're going to marry. Am I doing all right? And number six, when there is a reluctance to genuinely repent or reconcile wrongs. When a person does wrong, is caught in the act, but refuses to acknowledge, it often makes you wonder if they're just sorry that they got caught. Anybody been there before? I know y'all wouldn't raise your hands on that, but that's a rhetorical question. Where somebody that you loved or cared about got caught in the act of doing something, violated the trust of the relationship, and you felt like they were just sorry that they got caught. In other words, you know in your spirit that had they would not have got caught, they probably would keep on doing what they're doing. That's a sign of an unhealthy relationship. Because genuine repentance brings change. If you have repented, if you have confessed before your wife, if you have confessed before your destiny partner, then there's going to be a change. Number six, repeat it. Number six was when there is a reluctance to genuinely repent or reconcile wrongs. Number four under five was continues to violate trust. Now, I ain't repeating no more. Y'all got by the tape. If you are consistently, listen to me closely as I come to a close. If you're consistently experiencing one or more of these six characteristics that I've ministered to you tonight, you're probably functioning in an unhealthy relationship. You can function in an unhealthy relationship, meaning that you can survive from day to day, week to week. You're functioning in something that's unhealthy. But the reality is you don't have to. How is that, Pastor? Don't give up hope. There is help. You can recover the relationship and it can work. Come back on Sunday morning and I'll tell you how to do that. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Six signs to an unhealthy relationship. One thing the Lord laid on my heart first, lady, I didn't even tell you, but on Sunday, we're going to finish, per se, this portion. We won't finish it, but we're going to give you six keys to, and you can cut tape, LeVar. We'll give you six keys to